This is the Rogan and Rodney Podcast. Heard weekdays at noon on AM 570 LA Sports. Stream the show on the iHeartRadio app by searching AM 570 LA Sports or podcast the show on the iHeartRadio app by searching Rogan and Rodney. AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app.
AM 570,
an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peterson.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peterson.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
All right, we continue on. Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports. And, okay, when I get home, I got a bone to pick with some people in that house. I'll tell you that. I mean, it was fine that they called, and it was really sweet. But that Haley actually let you know that this morning?
Yeah, yeah. She wanted me to make sure that we all knew it was your birthday today. Because you're not a birthday guy. So you're not a birthday guy. So
no.
She wanted to make sure she's, you know. You are celebrated, Fred. It's a great daughter you have.
Yeah, oh no, it was adorable. And I was thinking to myself, how did you know that today? Because I didn't tell you. I didn't mention that to you. And then it turns out that she told you this morning. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Fred?
Anyway, yes.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, Adam.
Do you still have the energy to blow out the candles on the cake? Or
you see, is that right?
No, you look good, Fred.
Is that right?
Not a day over 800.
Well, 804. So I do look younger than my age.
No. Seriously, Fred. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay. So we've got the Lakers and the Clippers tonight. I have a theory, Adam. Mm-hmm. I want to run by you.
Okay.
I think you're going to disagree with it. But I think...
How are you predetermined? How do you know? How do you know Adam's going to disagree with
it? I got a theory I am, too.
Yeah, because okay. Because I tested
Vegas odds say that would be the case.
Have you crowdsourced this yet? Have you run any polls on this one yet, Fred?
I'll just say I tested this theory this morning, and it didn't fly.
Waters were a little chilly.
A little chilly on the theory. Here's my theory. Right now, the Lakers are worried about getting to the playoffs. And, you know, without the injuries, they are the favorites to win the title. We don't know how effective LeBron will be when he comes back. We really don't. And to say he's going to be really, really good is incorrect. We don't know. AD, we know this. He continues to round into shape. We don't know how effective he'll be. The Lakers are in trouble. Injuries got him. Here's my theory. So in 3 years, LeBron has suffered two injuries. One wasn't his fault at all. Guy fell into him. High ankle sprain. Rodney, you pointed out, it takes longer to recover when you're older. Right? If you're 26,
yes,
it's good. You're going to recover a little faster than when you're 36. And LeBron certainly takes care of his body. Here's my theory. If, in fact, LeBron continues to suffer little dings, and he will, it's going to take him longer to recover. And in that way, I think that kind of thing, when you commit the kind of money and the extension you gave him, if you're the Lakers, that's not good. Because a young LeBron who gets hurt gets back faster. If the injuries continue and it takes them longer to get back every time, I think it's going to be awfully hard for them to have a continued stream of success in winning titles. I think they're going to be in trouble.
Well, it's about the timing of the injuries, though, Fred. Last time around, it happened earlier in the season. They were out of playoff contention. They shut him down after he had the groin injury. This time around, it happened closer to the playoffs, and it became more serious than I think most people thought. I would have thought he would have been back before he was, in about 3 to 4 weeks, based on how he's been in the past. But as you mentioned, he is 36 now. But if you have a healthy LeBron James going into the playoffs, and it doesn't look like they're going to have that this season, even he admitted he's not going to be 100%. What was more concerning to me was him saying, what I was doing during practice and training was fine. I felt good. Once I got back on the court, there was a sharp pain that wasn't present when I was just ramping up and rehabbing. That's concerning. But moving forward, if you still have LeBron and you're load managing him throughout the season and you're giving him more days off as he gets older, even though, yes, he's older, he's banged up, these little injuries add up, as long as he's healthy moving into the playoffs, that's what you need. Unfortunately, they weren't lucky with that this season. They weren't lucky with him. Nobody was, though, in the Western Conference outside the Phoenix Suns. Everybody has been banged up. You can even go to the East with the Nets and the Philadelphia 76ers. Everybody coming off of the shorter turnaround coming into this season, everyone has been hurt. So I don't know if you can draw that much out of it, because it's a high ankle sprain. It's not a career-altering injury. It's a season-altering injury. That's what it is right now for the Lakers. It does possibly lower their ceiling in terms of winning a championship this year.
Yeah, and I would go to the point and to echo your point, Adam, that it's not just LeBron. We're seeing this across the league, and it is to a certain extent. We don't know how much, because can't put a percentage on it, but there is a factor in the shortened off season that these guys had. Your body, especially older guys, get used to a certain body clock that they're going back and to fully go back at it, and it was shortened this year, and we're seeing the injuries because of it. And in terms of LeBron and the high ankle sprain, anybody telling you, you know, one of the worst injuries to have in any sport is a high ankle sprain. They'd rather have your, you know, a low ankle sprain or quad or anything else than a high ankle sprain, because you really just don't know. And you can simulate all you want in practice. You can never duplicate a game, because that step, that unknown factor of a game will make you step longer or shorter based on the defender or what's happening in the game. So you can never duplicate. So yeah. Anybody would tell you that. Well, I thought I was doing everything in practice, and I got to the game, and it was sore because I looked like I was doing the same thing, but you're not. You're doing it at a different level in a different way. So to your theory, Fred, I don't know if I'm reading a whole lot into it because of this year, given the fact that it's a shortened season or shortened off season. And the fact that LeBron didn't get hurt like a soft muscle tissue injury where he was running up and down the court and all of a sudden he pulled his groin again. We're going, oh, that's the second time he pulled the groin, or he pulled his hamstring, was out for a period of time. Oh, he pulled the groin, then he pulled the hamstring. This one was legitimate. Guy fell on it. It could happen to a guy 22 or a guy 36, now, and it doesn't really matter.
Fred, if the theory is as guys get older, they are more injury prone, well, no S. That's not a theory. That's a fact. We all understand that. But LeBron is the freakiest athlete, and to Rodney's point, it's not like it's some chronic injury that he's been dealing with. These were two different things, the groin versus the high ankle sprain on a contact type of injury. So I'm not that concerned yet. Are you concerned for the rest of this season? Of course. There's 7 games left. He's already not playing tonight. They're saying he's day-to-day after this. I think there's still a chance that if they lose to the Clippers tonight, which is likely, that he plays tomorrow in Portland, because they fear losing that game, because the Portland Trail Blazers would jump them then. They'd be in the 6th seed. That would push the Lakers to the 7th seed. And then the Lakers have the Phoenix Suns on Sunday and the New York Knicks on Tuesday.
Ouch.
So the panic meter should be close to red. Legitimately, for the first time this season for you, Fred.
But
Fred was like processing that for a second, yes, while trying to get the question out.
He went right past it too.
Yeah. Well, I think you have to be a bit concerned at this point. Yeah, I think it should be now in red. I think it's moved from orange to red. And if your theory is correct, and that if they do lose tonight, LeBron will try to play in Portland. Remember, originally the Lakers said he was out the next 2 games.
That's why I feel like when they went day-to-day all of a sudden, but saying he's out for tonight's game, they're leaving that door open, that option open for him to play tomorrow in Portland. I think that's I think that's real. But there's a chance if he doesn't feel well enough, and we're talking about not being able to replicate in-game action, you can never know until you get out there and the live bullets are flying like they were, how you're going to feel. And he didn't feel right in those 2 games, obviously. And how far can you fall is the question. How much are you willing to risk LeBron James being out there and exacerbating the injury, but also risk getting that 7th seed, which obviously he doesn't want. He doesn't like the play-in tournament, and it doesn't bode well for the Lakers long-term, having to go through that gauntlet starting with a must-win game. Now, it is double elimination, but they'd likely be taking on either the Memphis Grizzlies or the Golden State Warriors in the play-in round.
Yeah, who would smell blood if they had an opportunity, a shot at the Lakers.
You want Steph Curry right now?
No, but, you know, talking about smelling blood, The Clippers will smell blood tonight against the Lakers, won't they?
They will, but it's interesting because currently the Clippers are in the 4th seed. Lakers are in the 6th seed. They beat them. Yes, there's a better chance the Lakers end up falling to the 7th seed depending on what happens tomorrow night. But them winning puts them in the 3 spot and could see the Lakers in the first round in that 6 spot. There's two different routes where these two teams could hook up. And I said this last week. It is a real possibility they play. It's likely. It's a coin flip right now, whether or not the Clippers take on the Lakers or the Dallas Mavericks in the first round. They could take on the Lakers in the 3-6 matchup. They could take them on the 4-5 matchup. Both are in play right now. There is so much up in the air in the Western Conference. It's unbelievable. We still don't know who's going to be the number one seed. The Utah Jazz have just a 1-game lead over the Phoenix Suns. The Denver Nuggets are, I think, 3 games behind the 1 seed, and they're still playing really well. If you saw what Nikola Jokic did last night, 24 points in the first quarter, your presumed MVP. But for the Clippers, it's interesting because they're going to go out there and try to win and play their best basketball and worry about themselves. But at the same time, you could end up with a worse matchup, which would be the Los Angeles Lakers. No matter who's in or out, they are the most dangerous team. Because you assume LeBron and AD, in whatever condition they are still going to give it a go in that first round. And they still have a deep team, and Dennis Schroeder should be back by then. And it's the path of least resistance that you want throughout the playoffs. We saw this back in 2015 with the Clippers. On the last game of the season, I think the San Antonio Spurs lost, and it dropped them from like the 4 seed to the 6 seed. And it turned out they took on the Clippers in the first round. The Spurs are coming off winning the championship the year before that. They were actually favored in that 3-6 matchup. They were the favorites over the Clippers. Now, the Clippers pulled it out thanks to CP3 hitting that shot over Tim Duncan, but it took so much out of them. I think that was part of the reason they blew that 3-1 lead to the Houston Rockets in the next round. So, a big-time first-round matchup series can have lingering effects throughout the playoffs. You always want the best matchup, especially early on, so you have fresher legs as you move through the tournament.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be very exciting playoffs on both sides, the East and the West. I think the West is so wide open. And we looked at, you know, Phoenix all year long, wondering if they're for real, they're for real. Well, they've sustained it all year long, and they are for real. But, Adam, I'm asking you this. In a 7-game series, can Phoenix or even Utah, for that matter, really sustain matchup with the Clippers and a full-strength, healthy Lakers?
I think it's possible. Now, Utah is still dealing with the Donovan Mitchell injury, and that has hurt them. The injury finally caught up to them. But Phoenix has benefited by being that one team that has been relatively healthy all season long. This is an injury-influenced season when you look at the standings. I think Phoenix is really good. I don't think they would be the number one or number two seed if it wasn't for all these other teams getting injured. I don't think we'd be talking about CP3 for MVP if it wasn't for all these other teams getting hurt right now. But they were good last year when DeAndre Ayton was available. Here's something people are missing when they're talking about CP3 and if he should be the MVP this season. It seems to be the sentimental pick. But Phoenix was really good when DeAndre Ayton was on the floor, but he missed 35 games. They still were building a better culture. All those young players were getting better. Monty Williams was doing great things for them, and then they went 8-0 in the play-in tournament or in the seeding games to try to get into the playoffs. If DeAndre Ayton was healthy last season, they would have already made the playoffs. So they were good, and then they added CP3, is what it is. And I have a feeling that Devin Booker, who has struggled at times in the fourth quarter this season, I don't know if it's some Kardashian, Kendall Jenner curse or anything like that. It can be distracting. Weakened legs, Fred.
Yes,
but
Mickey.
I believe in Devin Booker when it comes to the intangibles, the clutch gene, whatever you want to call it. I would not want to face that guy in a 7-game series. I feel like he has some of that Jamal Murray in him, what we saw last season from Jamal Murray. He could be really dangerous. Obviously, CP3, you look at his numbers in the playoffs, he's never really been the reason outside of him being injured that his team's lost. Now, what happened at the end of that game 5 against OKC where the ball goes out of the bounds, they were up 7 with 45 seconds left, they lose that, they lose the series. Some of that is on him, but there were some bad calls too. But overall, Chris Paul has been great in the playoffs. So you got those two. DeAndre Ayton, I think, is kind of a wild card, but with the position he plays, he's going to be really good. They have Jay Crowder there now. The Phoenix Suns, I believe, are for real. Are they as good as a healthy Clippers-Lakers team in a 7-game series? I don't think so. But I think they're good enough to take you to six, and if they can take you to six, there's a chance, right? They can get that to seven games, and then the pressure is on the teams from L.A.
When you look at the game tonight, what do the Lakers have to do to try and beat the Clippers tonight? Besides, AD's got to play well. What do they do? You know the Clippers better than anybody.
I mean, without Schroeder, without LeBron James, and Andre Drummond has been so up and down so far. Like, he had 19 and 11 on Sunday against the Toronto Raptors, and then has more fouls than points scored last game against the Denver Nuggets. And I think what they have to do is play Marc Gasol more, like Kyle Kuzma said. Marc Gasol has been DNP'd in 9 of their last 14 games. But if you look at how he's played when he's been available and out there since they brought in Andre Drummond, it looks like it ignited him a little bit. Frank Vogel says he's just more comfortable now. But he's a better defender than Andre Drummond. Even though he's slower, instinctually, when it comes to awareness out there, he's much better. They were a plus 17 in the 17 minutes he was on the court in that victory over the Denver Nuggets, and it was his defense on Nikola Jokic for the most part that turned that game in their favor. He's a better passer. He can spread the floor. He doesn't crowd the paint as much on offense because he can shoot the three ball. If they're going to do something tonight to challenge the Clippers, I think Marc Gasol has to be involved. And Kyle Kuzma and Montrezl Harrell, two of the three guys, when you add in Dennis Schroeder when he's available, that have had to step up for the most part since LeBron and AD has been out. Those two guys have to play really well. And they both have at times so far against the Clippers. But in this series right now, going back many years, the Clippers have won 27 of the last 34 games between these two. It's been lopsided. They haven't played each other in the playoffs. But if you go back to since the 2-1-3 connection, since Kawhi Leonard and Paul George have been Clippers, they're 4-2 against the Lakers. So they have been the better team in this matchup. I don't think the Lakers have matched up great with them just because they don't have a guy or two guys to guard Kawhi or Paul George. It's a weakness of theirs. Can all that be outdone, or can they overpower that with a healthy AD and LeBron? Of course, they're that good. But it hasn't been a great matchup for them. As much as the Clippers wouldn't want to see them in the first round, I don't think the Lakers want to see the Clippers either.
No, I think it's more so that than anything else. I don't think the Lakers really want to see the Clippers in the first round at all. And I think the Clippers are chomping their teeth to get to the Lakers. What about the East, Adam? Is it a matter of, like we're talking about with the Lakers, they got to get back and play with some consistency, play together, so they can get back in sync for the Nets? Is it just, if those guys are healthy, they're in sync? They don't have to worry about, playing 3 or 4 games together. If they're all healthy, they're tough to beat. Is it that scenario for them, or do they need to play together? Because they've only played together, 7 games this year?
Yeah.
Where all three of them have been healthy? So is it the same thing for them, or is it just if they're on the court, they're unbeatable?
I think they're close to that in the Eastern Conference, but there are interesting matchups when you're talking about a big like Joel Embiid against them. That's a weakness for the Brooklyn Nets. Could they try to run him off the floor? Yes. Could they hurt him the other direction? Yes. Giannis Antetokounmpo, same type of thing. Other teams do have big men advantages over them in the Eastern Conference. But I feel like there's more distance where they can just outscore you regardless of what their defense is doing. They can put up 135 on you, and they can win and beat you in 5 or 6 games if they're on. But I'm surprised James Harden has been out for this long with the hamstring injury. At first, I just thought they were being overly cautious. It seems a little bit more serious because they only have a few games left, and he still hasn't been playing. And when you're talking about continuity and building that chemistry and meshing out there, I would have thought they would have played him a little bit more if he was close to being healthy enough. Maybe it happens. Tonight they're taking on the Dallas Mavericks, which is a huge game with playoff implications because Dallas right now is that 5 seed in the Western Conference. I believe they have the same record as the Lakers, but they have the tiebreaker over them. So in the East, I still think the Brooklyn Nets are a cut above everybody else when healthy, but they may have some of the same issues that the Clippers had last season, where you have all this talent, but have they played enough during the regular season to build up that chemistry? When you get in those 7-game series and every matchup and everything's dissected and everything's looked at and overanalyzed, you can get exposed. Your flaws can get exposed. And maybe they don't know what some of those are yet because they haven't been on the court with one another enough.
Okay. Adam, good stuff.
Fred, happy birthday. And remember, I'm brought to you by Honey, the money-saving browser extension.
Very nice. Okay. The Saltier, Adam Oslin. Oh, Kevin has just walked in. Rodney.
Yes.
And we are going to have a very special treat next. Now, he has been working on this throughout the show. Can I even say what it is, Kevin?
Please do.
Okay. You remember our homeless guy that tried out? Well, I don't know if he tried out, but was on the USC football team for a while.
Yes, of course. How can I forget him?
Yeah, the homeless guy. He has spoken. He was on a podcast. The homeless guy that was living in a suite at USC and was actually practicing with a Trojan football team. He was in the jacuzzi with other players. He was at the training table. The homeless guy that was able to sneak in. We've got the homeless guy, and we're going to hear from him next. His name is Joshua Pryor. He's 25 years old. How did he do it? Well, we're going to find out.
If you missed any of Rogan and Rodney, you can podcast it on the iHeartRadio app.
Rogan and Rodney.
AM 570 LA Sports.
This might be my favorite version. Right here. Little Stevie. Yeah, Freddie. All day long, Freddie. All day long. It is your birthday.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yes.
You know who else is born today? I forgot, Rodney.
What?
Willie Mays.
Willie Mays' birthday today.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Say Hey Kid. I did see some tributes to him.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Got a lot of people with the same birthday, Freddie.
Yeah, a lot of really cool people and me. A lot of really great people and me. All right, this is, Kevin worked on this today. He walked in earlier and he said, hey, I've got something. I'm working on it. Don't know if I can get it, but if I do, I think you guys are going to like it. You remember the homeless guy at USC was on the football team, was with the guys, living in a suite. Finally, somebody walked out and said, who is that? I think it was 87. Who's 87? You know, the 87 is not like 5'9". 87 is a number where the guy's like 6'5". Who is that guy? And they realized that guy was a homeless guy that had just been hanging out and eating with the players, practicing with the team. Nobody realized it. He had been there for a couple of days. So we know who he is. His name is Joshua Pryor. He's 25 years old. And the audio comes courtesy of the Momentum podcast. That is hosted by former Chaminade High School quarterback Brad Kaya. And if you remember, Brad went to the University of Miami, played for the Lions, had a cup of coffee there, Rodney.
Uh-huh.
And it's also hosted by current USC quarterback Mo Hassan. Okay. So here we go. Joshua Pryor talks about how he got in and what he saw Clay Helton doing.
I was just in the John McKay Center, and
But how'd you get into the John McKay Center?
Well, I snuck in, and the lady that was the custodian, she saw the USC stuff, so she was like, okay, he probably go here. I was just went in the cold tub for like 2 hours and was
No.
I was switching between the cold tub and the hot tub.
For 2 hours. Contrasting.
I was just chilling and
that's incredible.
Then I left and then I seen Coach Clay Helton. Mm-hmm. He was in there, you know, playing golf. But then I was going to talk to him right then. I was like, man, I want to go talk to him and tell him who I am and hopefully he could recruit me and you know, give me a scholarship or something, you know. But I didn't want to disturb him or nothing like that. I didn't want to, you know, just, you know, go in this space like that.
Okay.
Was he practicing his swing, I'm assuming, in the McKay Center?
Yeah, that has to be what it is.
Yeah, he's playing golf. He was going to ask him if he could recruit him and give him a scholarship. That's what he wanted to go ask Clay Helton.
Okay, he probably made the right decision in not asking Clay Helton that.
Yes.
Because that would have ended his stay at USC much quicker.
Correct.
That would have been, who are you and what are you doing here? And put down my putter. All right. Then he talked about how he got his football shoes.
So I left, I got something to eat, I came back, and it was still open. It was still, I snuck in there.
And where'd you sneak in, the locker room?
The same way I got in, somebody okay. let it open.
Yeah, the front, yeah.
Yeah, and then I went to the locker room, and it was open, and I was just in there. I was like, I was starstruck, and I'm like, man, it's USC, they got helmets everywhere. And so I get in there, and I got a helmet, and I got a jersey, number 87s. And somebody gave me some shorts. He played on the team.
Oh,
you I forgot who shorts? He was. I forgot. Okay. I'm like, you got some shorts real quick.
Yeah.
And he did he know some... that you were a teammate or?
He knew I wasn't no teammate.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he was just playing along with it. Like, man, just let this dude, you know, fulfill his dream.
Seriously.
Know? Do you know who it was?
That's the crazy thing about this story. Like, I met him years ago. Like,
oh wow.
I just forgot his name, but he went to Modern Day.
Okay.
And he was cool. The first time I met him, he was with his dad.
Okay.
And he was pretty cool, but that was, yeah, that's the end of that story.
Okay. he's pretty cool.
See, that's what I suspected is that once he got in there, there were a few guys that were like, let's just see how far this thing can go. And because players know, you know who's in the locker room. You know at a certain point if there's a stranger in there, you're like, wait a minute. And then you go tell security or you tell somebody, but... The fact that he did say that he had met the guy before, he didn't say his name's from Modern Day. It's kind of not hard to kind of track down and figure out who that was. But he said he had met him before, and that's the guy that gave him the cleats and gave him a pair of shorts and said, you know, just go on. And he probably let the other guys know, hey, he's on the street, man, so let's just let him hang out for a couple days.
This is Joshua Pryor, the man that snuck in to the USC locker room and actually – went out on the field and tried to start catching punts.
Yeah, he gave me some shorts and I got some cleats. Mm-hmm. And I walked out there, man. I was like, wow.
Confident.
Yeah, and then they would have the punt returns going. So I'm like, man, I saw punt you. Return.
I saw you.
I caught the first one, but then yeah. I dropped two.
You dropped two.
Well, I dropped one, and then the other one like went like somewhere else.
So you just walked out and you were like. Hey,
I just walked out like I was like I was coming You're... late from study hall or something.
Wait, time out. I'm sorry. So you saw him. Everybody else on the team saw him. What were the coaches thinking?
Nobody said nothing.
Nobody said anything.
They was like, oh, that's him. Like
that's him.
Yeah. And I'm like, man, come on, let's go. And then it was like punt return drills and stuff like that. I'm like, let's go.
Yeah.
Punt return drill. So you're out there catching punts. You drop one.
I caught the first one.
So did you get coached after you dropped the ball? Or?
Nah, they was just,
They were just,
How much confidence do you got to have, though, to be able to just to go out there, not just milk. I'm in the McKay Center getting free food and just being able to sit in the hot tub and chill on the couch and whatever. Not milk that, but you actually are bold enough to go out to practice and try to interact with practice, not knowing a play, not knowing how the practice is run. You're just going to follow the group, and they start doing drills. You're going to do drills with them, and you actually go out and try to catch punts? I mean, that's pretty bold, Fred.
Well, no, what really would have been bold is if he had gone up to Clay Helton and said, do you want to recruit me? I don't go to school here. I'm a homeless guy, and I just want to be playing on the USC football team. Now, the final thing he talked about was the fact that, obviously, he was in the locker room. He was around the guys. So it would have been very easy for him, Rodney, to actually start stealing stuff.
Yeah.
But he said he decided not to do that.
I'm going to be honest. Like, I was looking for some other, like, clothes to get up in there, and I'm like, wow, it's open. And like, it was a gang of stuff out there I could have, you know, took, but I'm like, no, I ain't gonna do that to my teammates, you know.
Sure.
Like, I ain't about to steal no phones and nothing like that. You know, get a helmet, get a jersey,
go out there and ball,
practice,
go out there and ball.
No,
what did you think? Like, what was best case scenario for you? Like, what did you think was gonna happen? Did you think you were gonna get through the whole practice, do like 7-on-7 and
like,
team,
like,
or you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
because you know, like outside looking in, like sooner or later people were gonna find out, right?
Yeah, especially with the number I had on, they was probably like, man, this dude.
Well, so funny enough, that's my roommate, number 87, and he wasn't practicing that day.
What?
So I don't know if Yeah, it just kind of worked out. I don't know if it was coincidence.
Yeah, exactly.
It was between 87 and another 80 number, and it was 21, the white jersey. But I don't play defense.
Right.
No, he doesn't play defense.
Don't play defense. But I don't play defense. Do you think he had some sort of skill? Like he might have played like in middle school or high school or somewhere?
He caught one punt. Doesn't that count?
To have the confidence to go out and see if he could catch punts. He had to have something in his background a little bit, right?
Well, he sounds like he's fearless. It sounds like you could put him anywhere and he would try anything. You know what I enjoyed? You know, there was all this stuff sitting there, but I didn't want to steal from my teammates.
I didn't want to do that to my teammates. Oh, man.
God.
That is funny.
That is a great story.
That is a great story and believable that guys would, like, kind of go along with it. I think I told the story when this first came out that we had a number of neighborhood kids that would come around that we would sneak them into our training table and let them eat with us and get meals for them and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's not out of the realm for guys to do that. But for the boldness of being in the locker room and then going out to practice and actually trying to practice was that's an all-timer.
That was. Okay, we're going to bust the break. And what we're going to do is we're going to give away Clipper tickets to see the Clippers play the Knicks on Sunday. But before you decide if you're going to call or not, in order to win the tickets, you have to be vaccinated and be at least 14 days removed from your last vaccination. Okay? One more time, you got to be vaccinated and at least 2 weeks from your last vaccination. So, stay right there. We're going to bust the break. If you qualify, get ready to dial.
Bringing you LA's best sports talk weekdays, noon to 3.
Rogan and Rodney.
Yeah.
It's your birthday.
Yeah, it is.
There you go. Thank you, Ronnie.
Little 50 Cent coming at you. Birthday wishes to you, Fred. All day long, Fred. You can't escape.
Not going anywhere. Can't escape it, Rodney. Despite the fact I wanted no one to know. Okay, Juan and Hawthorne, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Doing great, thank you. Have you been vaccinated, and have you been removed from your last vaccination by at least 14 days?
Yes, sir.
Well, then you've done it, my friend.
Fred.
You want a pair of what?
Happy birthday.
Oh, thanks, Juan.
Yes, yes, yes.
Appreciate that, Juan. Thank you.
Love it, Juan. Right.
Thank you very much. You've won a pair of tickets to see the Clippers take on the Knicks Sunday at Staples Center. Clipper Nation fans are back at Staples, and we can't wait to see you there. Tickets are limited, so secure your seats for the remaining 2021 home games while they're still available. Go to clippers.com/tickets. There you go, Juan. You know
all
what?
Right. That's, yes, sir. Thank you.
On my birthday, that's your present, okay?
All right. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for listening, man. We appreciate it.
All right.
And now, from the court to the courtroom with Jacob Emrani.
Okay, here he comes, our dear friend Jacob Emrani. Jacob, good afternoon to you.
Happy birthday, my man.
Jesus, thank you, Jacob.
Hey, man, yeah. We want to celebrate you. I don't know.
I know.
It's not the time for you to be shy. Come on.
I know.
That's right, Jacob. That's right.
I don't know why, but
this is when you see who, you know, this is when you find out who loves you. I mean, this is like the love that you deserve, Fred. Happy birthday.
Embrace it, Fred. Embrace it.
Well, I appreciate that very much. Thank you, Jacob. And you know, you are a friend, and that does mean a lot to me. All right.
I appreciate it.
I'll go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, having gone through the year we went through, you know, we all appreciate our lives so much more. So, you know, here's the beginning of an amazing year for you. And you got to enjoy it with your beautiful wife, wonderful, you know, family, and, you know, just hit it off. You know, have a big, big year and let us all watch, you know, how you enjoy yourself. So I think that's really important to put out there.
Oh, that's so nice. You know what, Rodney? Let's have Jacob on every day now. Hey, we got to congratulate you. You just hooked up with a huge partnership. Besides being a partner of the Lakers and one of their key guys, you're now with LAFC. Why did you do that?
You know, Fred, I'm so excited. You know, I have, you know, I've been approached by other professional LA teams for the past few years, always wanting to partner up. And you know, to me, when you partner up with somebody, you really need to believe in their vision. You need to believe in what they do. And, you know, as a fan, I want to be able to believe in what they do as a team and what they do as an organization. And, you know, when I got to know the LAFC, the family there, the ownership, you know, the management, it just seemed like it was such a fit. They are so passionate about the team. They are so passionate about the fans. And, you know, I don't know if you know or not, but, I mean, their fans are probably the closest thing to going to a European soccer
match. Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
You know, I just felt like it's, you know, such a perfect match, and they were so, you know, generous in terms of wanting to get into a partnership together, and it's been great. We just announced, and, you know, as, you know, L.A. is opening up more and more, I just can't wait to, you know, be in the stadium, hanging out with the fans. You know, they got a group over there called the 3252 Club.
Right.
Yes. That I'm learning every day about, you know, and that's a nonprofit that basically you got 3,252 fans that do not sit throughout the whole game. I mean, that's how passionate they are. I just feel like it's a great fit, and, you know, I feel like they're a great organization. So I'm very excited to be partnering up with my second team here in L.A., and not just any team. You know, they're both great teams with great track records.
Jay, I love what you said there, because it is not – I like to say this a lot, and Fred hears me say it all the time, that all money's not good money. And you can – you know, you can do a lot of different things with a lot of different people, but the fact that you take the time, and it's not about just, oh, I'm just going to plaster it everywhere. It is about your relationships with the people that, like you said, have your vision, have the similar vision, and have the integrity of what you're looking for. And so I love the fact that you just don't not to say this lightly, but don't throw money around, but you take the time to really understand who you're partnering with.
Yeah. I mean, it's exciting because you know that, you know, you want to be with people that care about the ultimate bottom line, which are the fans. And, you know, what I do every day, I care about my clients. And to a football team, to a soccer team, to a basketball team, you know, they've got to care about their customers, their fans. And, you know, everything that I saw, everything that I looked at, you know, they care about their fans, and, you know, they've been around for 4 years, and they've done, you know, just as much as some of the other teams who've been around for 20 years and, you know, just love what they're doing. So it's really exciting, and I think it's going to be an exciting year. And, you know, we inked a, you know, long-term deal, so they know that I'm in it for the long run. And, you know, I think it's going to be really, really exciting for myself. And the other thing that's really important, Rodney, is that they're very involved with the community. They get out there in the community, and they go shoulder to shoulder, and they help, and they did a lot during COVID. So all the stuff that I like to do as well, they did, and, you know, I'm excited to partner up with them for many years to come.
You know, the thing about LAFC, when they launched, they probably wrote the textbook on how to launch an expansion franchise. I don't think in the history of American sports anyone, maybe the Vegas Golden Knights, Jacob, but aside from LAFC, the way they launched was absolutely textbook. And I'll bet you anybody down the road, when there's expansion that buys a team, will go with the model they created, because it was perfection for a team that didn't exist to burst into the market and do what they did with the kind of fan support they have prior to their launch was unprecedented. So yeah, I think it was a pretty good team.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. I mean, when I was hearing the story, because I didn't know much about them before this, I mean, they actually came out initially, and they were going out in bars and going to places where people were watching, you know, soccer/football, and they were just talking to people, trying to figure out what do you like. They didn't even have a team name. They didn't have players. They didn't have anything. So they were out there, you know, just doing a market research, and, you know, I think it has a lot to do with the ownership. I mean, you know, they have such a vibrant group of ownership. They've got, you know, Magic Johnson, Peter Guber, you know, who obviously is a part owner of both the Warriors as well as the Dodgers. He's, you know, they got Will Ferrell. So they have a little bit of everything that's there. And I think, you know, that's why in a couple of years they were able to do so much with this fanship. And I just can't tell you. I mean, we launched 2 days ago, and just the overwhelming reception and positivity I've gotten from their fans about how excited they are for me to have, you know, joined what they call the Black and Gold family, I've just been excited. So I got the purple and gold, and now I got the black and gold, and I can't wait. And I'd love to go with you guys to a game, you know, when things open up, yes, and we have some fun over there, and you know, get a drink and enjoy ourselves.
Why not? That would be great. All right, Jacob. Well, congratulations on the partnership. We're thrilled for you, and I know LAFC is thrilled to be partnering with you. As always, thanks for the time, and we'll do it again next week.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Have a great rest of your week.
Okay, we got to come together. Got a bond, got to unite.
Oh, yeah.
Don't we need it today?
We need it badly today.
Yeah, Jacob. We do. Yeah, we do. We'll do that, and we'll get you caught up on everything that's been going on with It's Lit.